Today is the third Sunday in Lent, and the gospel pointed for today is from St. Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitude. But some of them said, He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they are judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. In the collect for today, we pray, We beseech thee, Almighty God, look upon the hearty desires of thy humble servants, and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. One of the tragedies of life in this fallen world is the reality that one has enemies. Personal enemies and even national enemies. Business matters, family tensions, squabbling between neighbors are, of course, only a few of the seemingly countless ways men find to fight and hate one another. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord declares, You have heard that it was said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Thus St. Peter wrote to the Romans, Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And thus the Church prays in the general prayer, May it please thee also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. Sadly, the matter does not always rest with us, however. Even in matters of offense, there is a difference between situations where one has given offense and another has chosen to take offense. The counsel of St. Paul is, of course, sound. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In the Old Testament lection appointed for this day, we behold David, who was oppressed by King Saul because the Lord had rejected Saul on account of the sins of King Saul. Saul hated David because the Lord loved David. Saul rejected the word of the Lord and sought David's life. Saul's hatred for and pursuit of David tells us much about those who reject God's word and seek to destroy those who belong to the Lord. And 2 Samuel chapter 22 speaks comfort to Christ's church, for the one who delivered David from destruction watches over his people to this day, preserving not only from human enemies, but also defending us from the crafts and assaults of the devil. Jesus is our sure defense against the assaults of the devil. God's word leaves no doubt as to the nature of the plight from which David had been delivered. For we read, Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song, on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. As David then declared, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. Even against foes of flesh and blood, such as Saul, David knew that he needed a Savior, who is God himself. Now David was the one who had slain Goliath. Clearly the Lord had given David tremendous gifts as a warrior. But he knew that salvation is from the Lord. David's words remind us of Jonah's prayer when he was in the belly of the great fish. For Jonah prayed, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. So David says, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. In the sorrow of affliction, carrying the weight of the hatred another person pours out against us is like an overwhelming flood. You fear it's just going to wash over you and carry you away. To face the unreasoning hatred of an enemy who refuses to be reconciled, who will lie, slander, manipulate, even directly assault you in the effort to destroy you, is among the greatest fears a person can know. But as terrifying as such a mortal enemy can be, there are still enemies more terrifying. Thus St. Paul exhorts in Ephesians chapter 6, Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We need such armor and protection of God, because as powerful as fleshly enemies may be who threaten us, as individuals and as part of the body of Christ, the Church, a far greater threat is posed to us by the rulers of the darkness of this age. Thus our Lord gives the warning in today's Gospel, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. A man may appear to win victories against temptation in his life, but if they are not rooted in the Son of God who overcame the strong man, the danger remains that the man will be worse off. The devil tempts men to replace vices with even worse vices, including becoming proud that one has seemingly overcome drunkenness or lust or greed. The terrible work of such unclean spirits within the heart of man is evident in the vices which Paul warns against in the epistle reading. For there we read, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Be mindful of the fact that some of the sins Paul directly warns against here are some of those that men hardly even think are sins. Filthiness, foolish talk, and coarse jesting describes most of what passes for entertainment on television or in the theater these days. Covetousness is celebrated as a virtue in our consumer culture. Fornication and all uncleanness endangers countless numbers of souls, while so many simply shrug their shoulders and say, Well, that's just how things are. What does God's Word say? We read, For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Think of that. Do not be partakers with them. Where is your life taking you? What path are you following? Are you in the way of life or in the way of wrath? You cannot overcome temptation on your own, and you certainly are not going to be delivered from destruction by calling evil good. Jesus declares, He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. One is either a child of God or an enemy of God. The child comes into the inheritance, but the enemy abides under wrath. The ways of the unjust person may seem profitable, even enviable in this fallen world, but they will all come to nothing in the day of judgment. The world and false teachers within the church will try to tell you that your sins are no big deal and that everyone's doing it. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Instead, I say to you, repent while there is still time, for our Savior is the one who drives away the unclean spirits with the finger of God. Jesus is our sure defense against the assaults of the devil. David declared, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. The Lord Jesus is the Savior, is this Savior, toward all who trust in him. The heart of love is found in Christ, who, as we hear in Ephesians 5, has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The one who is our Savior is the one who is that stronger one. When Jesus declared, When a strong man fully arms, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. He tells us of our plight when we, in unbelief and impenitence, were under the power of the devil. But Jesus declares concerning his victory over the devil, But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Jesus has accomplished just such a deliverance for us, for through his death, Jesus made a full payment for sin and overcame the claim of the evil one, which the evil one would hold over against us. Forgiven by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, we are made partakers of eternal life through Christ, for the grave could not hold him, God raising him from the dead. Jesus is our sure defense against the assaults of the devil. Given new life through faith in him, we have the promise of the forgiveness of sins to all who live in a state of repentance, trusting in Christ Jesus our Redeemer. He has given us the sacrament of his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith throughout our earthly walk. The one who cast out demons is the one who declares, Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Dear friends, cling to the words of Christ's promise to you. Cling to the promise given you, if indeed you have been baptized, in your baptism, where Christ declares, He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The one who, repentant, that is, sorry for sins, and trusting in Christ, is the one who believes that through his death and resurrection, Jesus has made atonement for us, has made payment for us. And thus we have the gift of the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life in Christ. The blessed word of the Lord will never disappoint those who believe God's word. God's word assures us that there is nothing for us to do, that Jesus has done all for us already. And so we come to him with sorrowful hearts, yet hearts filled with hope, because we know that through faith in him, we have the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let us pray. We beseech thee, Almighty God, look upon the hearty desires of thy humble servants, and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to join them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. We are also, during this season of Lent, having midweek services at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. So we invite you to join us. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the members of Salem Lutheran Church.